Welcome back to the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to our great partners at McDonald's. Order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
It's time to shoot some hoops as the Water Boys talk all things basketball.
Yes, nice to be talking basketball again, particularly after the incredible season this team put together. Jackie's arrived. And very pleased to say, after only arriving back in the state yesterday, JJ's head coach Scott Roth has been good enough to join us on the Water Boys this morning. Hello, coach. Thanks for giving up your time. How are you going?
No, fantastic. Excited to be back. Had a great break and tidied up a bunch of things that have been laying dormant for 2 years for me to get back home and see some familiar faces, but more importantly, just get things taken care of around my house and see my house and my family and just kind of get back to some normalness and regroup, and I feel great and I'm ready to go.
I know you wanted to get your car registration sorted out. You wanted to look at your new house. You ticked all those off. How's the new house?
The house is incredible. It's beautiful. We worked on it up until the day I left, of just tweaking things and moving things around. There's still boxes there from a year and a half ago that were getting unpacked, and so we knocked out a lot of those things. I got to spend some really quality time with my daughter, who I don't see obviously as much as my wife, but now that the travel's opening, they're coming next month, my wife is, so it's all good. Spent some time just before I came in Phoenix, where I used to live, so I wouldn't have a long trip. Weather's been great. Beaches have been nice. Staying in contact with our players and our coaches, and I'm excited to be back.
And we're recording this too, so people will be able to see your beautiful tan you've got too from the American sun.
Took a lot of work.
I saw the picture of you, I think Danae posted it, of you on your bicycle with a cigar with your Jack Jumpers top on as well, which was
cool. Every evening at this place that we ended up building, there's a interior bike path, golf cart path that goes around the entire development, and we rode that every evening and just relaxing and, again, time to spend the time with my family. That's the first time I've actually been on a bike in probably about 40 years, but did it every day.
Right, let's get down to business. Yeah. I want to address the elephant in the room straight off the top. It was announced last month that Josh Adams won't be returning for the Jack Jumpers. Since then, in a social media post, he said, "Your coach made the decision that he didn't want me." Is that correct? Did you not want Josh to return to the Jack Jumpers?
So I guess the thing for me is I don't want to speak a lot about this because this is obviously internally, but I'll just give you a quick recap, and I'm very proud of the way we handled everything. We had exit meetings with all of our players. We documented everything. Jarek spoke to every agent during the course of the time since they've left market, documented everything. And in our exit meeting, we asked Josh Adams, our coaches, and everyone there, would you come back for the same salary? That's all we have. We've maxed you out. You're in the top five or six players played in the league. He said no, emphatically, to us. That was fine. It was just maybe an emotional reaction to that. No big deal. Josh Majette came in afterwards and said, let me talk to my wife. And by the time the banquet was over with, Josh Majette had committed to us. No one knew that, but he was coming back for the same salary, same everything, because that's all we had to offer. Those two guys, we had maxed their salaries. We said when you land in the United States, for both of them, the contracts will be sitting there. We sent our contracts out, and at that point, Jarek took over and handled all the negotiations. And Majette signed immediately when he got home to the States, and Josh Adams, it took 8 to 10 days for the representatives to come back and say he's not accepting this deal. You know, at that point, we pivoted and started looking at players and Zooming, and I signed Rashad Kelly, went through that whole process. Jarek remained in contact with the representatives, and we got down to the point where in about 3 weeks, we had Milton Doyle done and signed. And at that point, the representatives came back and said, he'll take that offer. Well, it was too late by then. We're not going to verbally decommit to the guy that we've been going through. And the contract sat for 3 weeks. And if we never wanted him, he would never got a contract. He would never sat in his lap for 3 weeks. At many, many points, he just could have said yes. What that process was or what it looked like for them, I don't know. But we've documented everything. We've gone through the whole thing. It's unfortunate. He did a very good job for us, obviously, at the end of the year. But the thing really for me is nine other teams are doing the exact same thing. You know, Melbourne's probably got to have no one back from their imports, and all the teams are juggling rosters. And I think our fans got to get used to the continuity of trying to keep the locals around and building with the five or six guys that we think are core guys that can be here for a little while. And the imports come and go. It's just the nature of the business of how things work in the NBL. There's very few times that you're going to find a Bryce Cotton, and he's your guy forever. And so We wish Josh well. At that point, I make all the final decisions, but we do everything collectively as a group. We discuss everything as a group. That's Simon, Jark, and my staff. And at that point, I said, no, we're not going to renege on the contract that we've already verbally committed to Milton Doyle. And that's really it. It was, I think there's people thought there was some kind of nefarious kind of action going on there or whatever, but it was very cut and dry that you're the top six or seven players in the league. This is all we have. You can say yes at any point, just like Josh Maget, or you can say no at any point. We get it, and we're moving on. And that's exactly what we did. And like I said, it's all documented by us and the process that we went through. And we wish him well. You know, he just got married, I think, a few weeks ago. And I wouldn't be surprised if he landed on an NBL team or whatever, but it just didn't work.
That's pretty strong language, though. Your coach made the decision that he didn't want me, but that's not quite how it's worked out from your perspective. You said you had contracts on the table with other people.
Yeah, well, again, what he said is what he said, but listen, I've been doing this for a long, long time, and guys are emotional and things are going on, but I was the one that brought him here. I'm the one that offered him the contract initially, and he played for me. And so we wanted him back, or we would never put a contract in his lap and let it sit there for 2 or 3 weeks for him to say yes. If we didn't want him, we would have said at the end of the season, like I did with Mikhail McIntosh when he flew home to Toronto. I called him. I said, Mikhail, love everything you did for us. People don't know he played on a broken foot in the Sydney game. But we're going to change directions. And very upfront with him that there was no contract for him. So we were very transparent. Yes, I was the one that ultimately said at the end, no, we're not breaking the contract with Milton Doyle that we have verbally to go re-sign Josh after we've waited, you know, 3+ weeks to get an answer that could have happened at any point.
So I think we can put that to bed then. You wanted him back. It was just a matter of circumstance. There was a contract originally on the table for Josh to return.
Yeah, just like Josh Maget and Josh Adams, when they landed in the States, they had their contracts. So if we didn't want him, why would you send a contract to a guy and say, boy, I hope you don't sign this? Of course not.
Scott Roth's our guest on the Water Boys, the Jack Jumpers head coach. There's rumours and hearsay and things like that, but did you two clash, you and Josh, personality clash? I know you're very similar people, so was there issues there?
There wasn't any issues with Josh. I think really at the end of the day, of all the players there, he was the most volatile ones. I tried to be as free to let him be himself as much as I could, you know, with all of our guys, especially him. And I tried to maybe stay away from him a little bit more because I know the volatility of, you know, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And for me, I was more keeping my distance, especially during games. If I would get mad, I'd rather just take him out and let him cool down for a bit. I feel like I treated all the players the same across the board. I don't really feel that from that end of it. And again, why would I want a guy back and offer him a contract if I felt that those were those things?
A couple of quick ones before on Josh before I throw it to Blair. Have you spoken to him since those comments?
I haven't. But, I reached out to him once or twice but via text and just said, you know, I'm here to talk and I'd love to go through this with you and so on and so forth. And got no response or anything. And that's fine. I understand it. I also understand he's in the process of getting married and probably the honeymoon and so on and so forth before this. But, no.
What do you say to the fans? I guess the MVP is not coming back. There's a few disappointed people out there. What's your message to them?
I think it's just the nature of the business. Like I said earlier, I think that multiple teams' MVPs aren't coming back to the rosters. It's our first year, and everyone got really, really excited about an incredible journey that we went on, and I get it. But, you know, next year and the year after, this team can look completely different across the board in so many ways. You just have to be able to me again, what I learned in Perth was if you can keep your 5 or 6 core guys together that are locals, you have a chance to kind of duplicate a lot of things that are happening. And then the imports are going to come and go just like they have in Perth. Again, you don't find a Bryce Cotton, but, you know, United's changing their whole roster and they ran the grand finals last year. So it's just the way it is. And there's a lot of activity in the leagues being scouted and there's a lot of really good players coming and going. And you just have to remain flexible. And I think the fans will be very, very excited about the guys we came in, and we'll try to play as hard as we can and duplicate some of the things that we're doing. But Milton Doyle is not Josh Adams, and Rashad Kelly is not Mikhail McIntosh.
Now, Scott, you mentioned the new recruit, Milton Doyle, 6'4" guard who played 10 games for the Brooklyn Nets. You said he won't quite be like Josh Adams. What can we expect from him?
So he's a bigger guard. He can play 1 through 3. He's very defensive minded, very good size and length, which we were excited about. An outstanding shooter. Yep. And he was very, very effective in the G League. And then, you know, like a lot of guys that go to Europe, they get pigeonholed into areas. They don't play quite as many minutes, and European style is a little bit different. And we think him coming here and letting him, again, have some freedom, like I give most of our guys offensively, to just go do what he does. But the one thing he does very well is facilitates the ball, can handle the ball. Again, his size is intriguing. Super mature, has got two young kids coming with him in the market with his wife. He just got married on July 15th, and he's excited to start this process of his journey.
That's really important, isn't it? I know every interview you've had, Scott, you talk about the culture of the club.
Yep.
So you bring in a player with young kids,
yep,
and it really wants to buy into,
yep,
the culture,
yep,
there as well. So, and Rashid Kelly, the,
yep,
big man,
yeah,
because we struggled a bit with Will Magnay out last,
yeah,
year,
yeah,
and a lot was made of that last season. So he'll be help our big man stocks?
Well, I get a little... I get a smile because everyone says big man. He's not big,
but,
again,
yeah,
but he's big enough.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, his athletic ability is something that we were missing. He's only 6'7", 6'8", but again, skilled, can handle the ball, but he's very, very tough, and I think he'll help our rebounding, and he's actually a surprisingly really good shot blocker. So he brings a lot,
yeah,
of versatility. Again, we played last year in the grand finals with a 6'7 center starting for us, and played most of the year with that without Will.
Yeah.
But Rashad's going to give us some versatility there again, in some similar ways that Mikhail did, but I think just a bigger, better kind of athlete in general.
Yeah. What about the goals for the season? It's got a remarkable season last,
yeah,
year, runners-up, and you've captured the whole imagination of,
yep,
the state. So there's big expectations, isn't there? When you finish runner-up the season before,
yep,
there's really only one way to go, and that's to win the competition.
I think a few things. One, we're completely turning the page, and that season's over with, and,
yep,
we've only played 28 games in the existence of this franchise, so I don't want to get carried away of what's happening. And the reality is we are seconds or minutes away from finishing fifth. We went to the finals,
but
it was just a shot or two that made us get into the finals. So we're in the middle of the pack probably, if things don't go our way and we're fifth, and the discussion's a little different. But for us, it's more about internally just getting better at things and building this culture. We're a long way from being complete with this in our front office and my staff and the players, and we're going to tweak things internally that might not be seen necessarily on the court. And, you know, our goal is to build the best basketball franchise in Australia. And that's going to take a couple years. And we have a new building hopefully coming to fruition here shortly. And just continually internally improving. I don't put any measures on the season. I didn't last year. I won't this year. It's just about us competing, representing the state, defending the island, playing as hard as we can. And we'll see where it goes and integrate our guys through there. And, you know, we haven't got punched in the mouth yet. And we haven't been knocked down, really knocked down. And we're probably going to have some adversity at some point or another. We have some injuries right now to start the season with some guys that are going to be hurt here over the next few weeks to have to recover. And so every season's a different journey, different obstacles you're going to face. You're going to have to pivot, and sometimes you're successful and sometimes you're not. But our work ethic and our approach will not change. We're just going to try to improve some of those areas.
Yeah, and what about your coaching team? You must be really proud of Jacob Chance. Now you've elevated him to assistant, associate head coach. He's been away with the Boomers,
yep,
and was he a sneaky chance to get the Wildcats job?
Oh, he was one of the four that interviewed for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really proud of obviously the way the season finished and so on and so forth. But to have three of our guys get in the qualification rounds as far as players, and then two staff member, our physio Ryan Carroll, who's I think one of the best, if not the best, in Australia. And then have Jacob obviously over there. So five guys from the Jack Jumpers is a really, you know, amazing feat for us in general. And Clint Steinle's first time, and Sam McDaniel's first time, and Jack McVay's first time. So really exciting times for those guys to be in that process. And they did the work, and the work will pay off in the long run. And they got what they deserved, and it's just a fantastic credit to them. I talked to Brian Gorjon about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and he was just raving about those guys and how they play and the culture that they bring to the Boomer. So it's exciting.
Scott Roth, the Jack Jumpers head coach, is our guest in the studio on the Water Boys this morning. We've almost got a complete squad. Next star. How are we going with the next star? Are we going
to
get one?
You know, to be honest with you, we haven't ventured down that road right now and haven't really had a lot of those discussions yet. To be honest with you, there's not been a lot of talk internally in the league with names coming through. So I wouldn't say we've turned away from that, but we'll wait and see how that plays out. But We have some other decisions to be making here shortly. With on August 10th, we have an open tryout. You know, in the past, we've had a few guys want to come to that tryout when I first got here, and we've had over 100 recipients from around Australia want to be there. So we're trying to narrow that list down for our developmental players. We might have to have a replacement player here soon to make a decision on with Clint's situation. So we're kind of focused on that right now.
Just expand on that for us. What do you mean by that?
So, you know, obviously these guys have been dinged up a little bit. Jack McVay hurt his shoulder, is recovering fine. He should be ready to go in the middle of August from his shoulder injury. Clint Steino has a stress fracture in his shin. That's why he's not playing with the Boomers. He's still, you know, he has to recover from that. So that's 4 to 6 weeks before he's able to even start rehabbing. So that means most likely he'll miss October in the process, and we'll see where that goes. Magne's still on the come and still going through his process, and we'll see where he's at. Like I said, I just got in town, but I've kept up with the reports, obviously. I'll meet with some of these guys on Monday and talk more in general about what's going on. So we have a few guys that are nicked up and banged up, and we'll have to make some decisions here. And like I said, we're working on the developmental players right now. And then we're working on looking for a replacement player for Clint for a month or two, depending on what we find out from more results.
Development players are such a big part of the team, aren't they? Because if you look at AFL, for example, a rookie player or a Category B rookie mightn't play, but there's such an important part. We saw Sean McDonald play in the Grand Final series last year, for example. So you've got to kind of get that right, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they're hugely impactful for us practice-wise, just having the right number of numbers to go through practice. And all of our guys ended up playing. Cy Deans played in the game. Sean played in a really big critical game for us up in Brisbane. And Jock Perry filled in here and there, had 8 points in the grand final third game. And so those guys are important that they're able at least to get on the floor for some minutes and hold the fort for us. And we'll do a good job here trying to find the ones that we think will fit our culture and our development. And, you know, that's kind of our focus moving forward. We start August 1st with guys all being back in market. To start doing some just individual work and things of that nature. Our imports are due shortly after that, in the middle of around the 10th of August. They're all in market. And then on the 15th, we have our kickoff kind of evening get-together with front office staff, doctors, families, everything to just introduce the season and what we're looking forward to doing.
Busy time. And I know you're looking forward to your break so much. Do you feel refreshed now? It's obviously going to be a grueling campaign ahead, but you feel like you're fully charged and ready to go?
I feel as good as I've ever felt just in general, especially mentally for me was the big thing with just not being home for the 2 years and going through that process. So for me, it was just peaceful and nice to be back. And, you know, I told my wife before I left, you know, I'm excited to get back. I wasn't excited to get on the plane for the flight necessarily. But when I landed here, it was like, okay, let's get going here. And, you know, we have meetings starting on Monday and we're ready to go. I'm excited. I'm excited about this group again. And again, we're in the infancy of this whole project. It's you know, we had an unbelievable year. There's no doubt about it, and capture the hearts of a lot of people around Australia. But we're still in the building process here, and still, you know, can't get ahead of ourselves. And we're going to do the work and work as hard as we can, and just see where everything takes us.
Well, we really appreciate you coming in. Particularly, you probably jet lagged, are you?
You know, I was up at about 4:30. I said, "Man, Brent, you know, he didn't come to the airport and pick me up, which he lied to."
I did promise that.
I know he had some other obligations, but he still pulled a fast one on me. And then he wants me to come in and explain the world of what's happening around here.
You've done really well.
Yeah, so he's kind of a pain, but I figure I better get up, get my hair back, shave, make sure I look good for this guy.
Do look good.
On the hair, Scott. I noticed last year in the seasons when you had the Brill cream in like that, you won games. When you left it a bit scruffy, you didn't win the games.
I don't think that's correct, but you know, it's just you know, I had a little bit of a mullet going there, and when you get older, you just wake up and hope that, you know, that something might work for you. And so it's just
at least you got some. That's all.
Well, very I wasn't going to say that, but it's a
before
good
point. You go, I introduced you to Blair when we walked in. Yeah. You had no idea who he was. He apparently hosted a function with you.
Yeah,
I don't know when. A while
is
ago.
That the horse races now? Yeah, I remember. That feels like ancient times.
Yeah, right. I did host the Jack Jumpers banquet, as you like to call it.
That was you.
That was me. You introduced me.
I thought it was Brett, but no, it was Brett.
That's right, Brett. Yeah. Who was the better host, do you think, out of us?
Well, it's very, very easy that the gentleman right here was killing
whose name you can't even remember. Yeah. There you go.
No, he's killing it.
Exactly, Scott.
Thanks so much. We really do appreciate it, particularly just getting here yesterday and being so open and honest too off the shot, off the top of the segment. So appreciate that and look forward to seeing you during the season. Scott Roth joining us here in the studio this morning on The Water Boys. Plenty more still to come on the show. Up next, we speak to the new head coach of the Hobart Hurricanes, Jeff Vaughan, here on The Water Boys right across Tassie. Thanks to Maccas.